We are reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter number 20, verse 128, 129, and verse 130 has a purport. So that is the verse which we will read together. So text 128, Tumi kena duki, tomara ache pitridana, tomara na kahila, anyatra, chadila, jivana. The astrologer asked, why are you unhappy? Your father was very wealthy, but he did not disclose his wealth to you because he died elsewhere. So, I think this is within the discussions or the words Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking, and he is quoting a parable. So that was initiated in the previous text. So we continue. Text 129. Sarvagyera vakye kare danera udesha oiche veda purana jiva krishna upadesha. Just as the words of the astrologer Sarvagya gave news of the poor man's treasure, the Vedic literatures advise one about Krishna consciousness when one is inquisitive to know why he is in a distressed material condition. Text 130. You can repeat after me. Sarvagyera vakya mula dana anubhanda. Sarva shastri upadesha Shri Krishna sambandha. Sarvagyera of the astrologer, vakye, by the assurance, mula dana, with the treasure, anubandha, connection, sarva shastre, all Vedic literatures, upadeshe, instruct, Shri Krishna, Lord Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sambandha, the central connection. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. By the words of the astrologer, the poor man's connection with the treasure was established. Similarly, the Vedic literature advises us that our real connection is with Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 6:27-26, Sri Krishna says, Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani chabutani mam tu veda nakashchana. O Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me no one knows. Thus Krishna knows the cause of the distressed condition of the conditioned soul. He therefore descends from his original position to instruct the conditioned soul and inform him about his forgetfulness of his relationship with Krishna. Krishna exhibits himself in his relationships in Vrindavan and at the battle of Kurukshetra, so that people will be attracted to him and will return home back to Godhead. Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita that he is the proprietor of all universes, the enjoyer of everything that be, and the friend of everyone. Bhoktaram yagyatapa asam sarvaloka maheshvaram suridam sarvabhutanam. Bhagavad Gita 5:29. If we revive our original intimate relationship with Krishna, our distressed condition in the material world will be mitigated. Everyone is trying to adjust to the distressed conditions of material existence, but the basic problems cannot be solved unless one is in an intimate relationship with Krishna. So before speaking on the Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is very nice to glorify these scriptures. They are none different from Krishna. And when we say that they are none different from Krishna, this manifestation of transcendental sound is none different from Krishna. And then what can we do in terms of really be qualified to speak and to hear that Krishna will in his own Swarup manifest? So this in itself is a very humbling perspective. So we are definitely not qualified that Krishna may purely manifest his own Swarup in the form of the Bhagavatam and the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita here. So the only thing we can do is just try to do a sincere effort to speak and hear about Krishna, speaking about what Krishna has said, what the previous acharyas have said, and with this sincere desire to please them, you know. And it is said we do this for our own purification, so it's not like that we're speaking to somebody, you know. We do this for our own purification. We speak and we listen for our own purification. And definitely, this is in the realm of devotional service. We do this humble attempt so that Krishna may be pleased. So when we consider devotional service, and later on we will talk a little bit about this, it requires us to understand our position in relationship to the very elevated platform of devotional service. So the mood of devotional service, also at the stage of practice, is one of humility and utter dependence upon Krishna. So in this mood, we are praying to Krishna, trying to please them, and just, you know, begging them that they may, in some moments of pure consciousness, while we speak and hear about Krishna, that he may manifest there and purify our consciousness, enliven us, because it is in these moments that Krishna is revealing himself. It is in these moments that the foundations of our devotional life are being built. So when we go through these verses, some very interesting points are there. So it's talking about the parable. Parable is like a story, simple story, with things in this material world where everybody can relate to, but which has some deeper meaning there, some morality or some purpose to be explained. And the astrologer asked, and the name of the astrologer is Sarvagya. Sarvagya, he knows everything. He knows the past, he knows the present, and he knows the future. Krishna is Sarvagya, Guru is Sarvagya. Vedic literatures, being the manifestation of Sadhu Guru Krishna, is also Sarvagya. So really, Shastra, what is Shastra? When we talk about Shastra, Shastra is nothing more but the realizations of Krishna, of realized devotees. So when that is recorded into a scripture in the first place, but ultimately when that is again recited and spoken with pure consciousness, in pure consciousness, with an effort to please Guru and Krishna, that is Shastra. So astrologer means many things here. Why are you unhappy? Your father was very wealthy, but he did not disclose his wealth to you because he died elsewhere. So the father indicates Krishna, and the wealth indicates the wealth of devotional service, the sublime goal and gift of devotional service. In the next verse, just as the words of the astrologer Sarvagya gave news of the poor man's treasure, the Vedic literatures advise one about Krishna consciousness when one is inquisitive to know why he is in a distressed material condition. So when we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, this topic of Brahma Tattva Jigyasa is constantly coming up. Brahma, transcendental truth, transcendental knowledge, Tattva Jigyasa, Brahma Tattva Jigyasa. So some inquisitiveness to know the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, to know one's relationship with him, and to be engaged in that loving devotional service, is the basis of what the Srimad Bhagavatam is. And it also indicates a qualification of the devotee who wants to qualify himself. because he is Jigyasa, he wants to know. Now, this is not an ordinary qualification. I mean, you study the Bhagavatam from beginning to end, this thing is constantly coming up again. The Bhagavatam starts with that, but the Bhagavatam continues with that, and the Bhagavatam also ends with that. We have discussed it many times, but we should attempt to accept for ourselves a standard as high as possible. You know, why? Because the platform of devotional service is extremely high. You know, it is very, is extremely high. And in our, especially with our background, heavily influenced by Tama and Rajagun, it is very difficult to conceive of the elevated platform of devotional service. So when we talk about inquisitiveness, we don't talk about an ordinary inquisitiveness. Of course, all of us are inquisitive, otherwise we wouldn't be here. So some faith is there, some inquisitiveness is there. But it elaborates here when one is inquisitive to know why he is in a distressed material condition. You see? It's talking about a distressed material condition. So the material condition in general is distressed. So when we are still influenced by this material energy is directly acting upon our mind as the central focus of our perception in this world. All the activities of perceiving and thinking and feeling and willing and then acting are being centered around the ego and the mind ultimately. So it is this central piece that is influenced by material energy. And that condition in itself is a very distressful condition. Now, we remember before we came to Krishna consciousness, we were definitely suffering very much, most of us, intensely. Growing up in a culture, you know, completely influenced by Tama and Rajagun, and then, you know, increasing our nonsensical activities there. And the end result of that is suffering. So, you know, when we engage in tamasic, rajasic activities, Krishna, through his material energy, he makes it very clear that we are suffering here. But for a pure devotee, somebody is purely established in relationship with Krishna, you know, the tiniest influence of this material energy is completely unacceptable for him. You know? So we are already so happy that due to our efforts in devotional service, which is a transcendental process, you know, and we chant, attend the programs, we accept spiritual master, we surrender to Guru, follow his instructions, and we become purified after, you know, years of being in contact with devotional service, with the holy name. And we get purified. So these heavy reactions of Tama Rajagun are being purified. But it doesn't mean that we are really transcendentally situated. And then we become so happy by this little influence of that sattva guna due to the contact with devotional service. You know? And that is mostly a time where we become complacent and where we start relaxing in devotional service and slacking down. You know, it's a tendency we should try to perceive within our own practice. It really happens like that, you know. So it means that the ultimate motivation for what we're doing is not to please Guru and Krishna. It is to just get rid of our suffering and to reasonably enjoy on a better, nice level in this material world. When mind and senses are purified, you know, you can enjoy so much more, definitely, you know. Your consciousness is clear, you become intelligent, you know, you're getting, your senses become purified, you're receiving so many impulses, your interaction with people become much better, you know. And then it's quite nice to stay here, you know, we're still young, you know, our health may be reasonably okay. And then the prospect that we are going to die in this world is not bothering us too much, you know. For a pure devotee, even a tiny influence of this, even this sattva guna, will be completely unacceptable. You know? So there is a problem of perspective here. You see? So ultimately, you know, what do we, because we're talking about inquisitiveness here. You know, of course, when the beating of Maya is very strong, okay, then we start asking. And we're very thick, you know. We think, okay, I suffered a little bit in this material world, so I came to Krishna consciousness. But souls with some serious adhikar, bhakti adhikar, or even jnana adhikar, or even karma adhikar, you know, very often with the slightest disturbance in their consciousness, they already ask themselves questions from what is happening here, you know. But we were suffering so much before we came. And simply by the causeless mercy of Sri Guru and Krishna, you know, we came to this path. So we can't really claim that it's because of our own qualification. So okay, ultimately we came. But now, being situated in this process, we have to really question the quality of our consciousness, of our surrender, and question the fact until what extent. Prabhupada speaks about this later. We have an intimate relationship with Krishna. So this jigyasa in the lower stages of purification and devotional service, it will be really directed to questions that, why am I suffering? Why am I suffering? You know? And that's a very good question. You know, and now we have to be really honest with ourselves, brutally honest. We remember. And many times our mind and senses are disturbed. You know, we become attracted by the opposite sex, or we are not able to perform our sadhana properly. We become overwhelmed by emotions of anger or frustration or irritation in association with devotees. These are all kinds of disturbances, all kinds of sufferings. But what happens, you know, throughout the day, from morning to evening, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year, I mean, they happen in a countless number. I mean, we can't even count them. So each and every of such a manifestation of unwanted qualities of these anarthas in our consciousness, in our mind, is an opportunity for us, you know, to ask why this is happening. Many times we're just missing these opportunities. We're not taking these opportunities. We just let them go by. You know, we become, you know, defensive, or we project some responsibility upon somebody else, upon the temple, upon the management, or upon other devotees, or upon Krishna, even in the worst case. And then, okay, I'm chanting. I continue with my chanting. I continue with my devotional service. I continue with my thinking of Krishna. But this is a very artificial, superficial consciousness. Krishna is putting these things in front of us, before us, with some purpose. You know, so each and every disturbance is an opportunity to become sober. You know, and Gita, Krishna constantly is attempting to do that. The words of Sadhu Guru Krishna are meant to sober us, for us to receive a very clear perspective on our situation. And being conditioned by material nature, being bothered by heavy reactions of Tama and Rajagun, because these are reactions of Tama and Rajagun, envy, anger, lust. These are not sattvic qualities, and these are the things we are bothered with, you know. Being disturbed by these qualities, it's an opportunity to pray to Krishna, you know, to see the true nature of these qualities. I think Prabhupada is speaking about this in the next verse. Krishna knows the cause of the distressed condition of the conditioned soul. So Krishna knows this cause. You know, and he knows, of course he knows, but we have to know. We have to understand what is happening, that we're heavily influenced by material energy, and that in that consciousness there is no purification, there is no advancement in Krishna consciousness. Purification and advancement only comes in the moments where our consciousness is purified, where we get a strong experience. You know, when we are bothered by these things, there is no real purification. We are just like, you know, being victimized by the reactions of our past activities. And then still on this artificial, theoretical platform, very superficial platform, we can still project ourselves in this process of devotional service, but it's not really going to help us. You know, And it's very difficult to do that. Why we don't want to look at these qualities? Because it, Shishirada Gopinath ki, because it confronts us with the fact that we are not so advanced. It is much easier for the false ego and the mind to think, okay, Radha Krishna are so beautiful and I'm so fortunate and I have such great qualification that I came into their devotional service and you know I got some nice realizations and I can share them. And when I'm doing that, devotees are listening to me and they're saying Hari Bol Prabhu and Ki Jai and things like that. So it's very nice for the false ego. You know, but to really look at these qualities and admit that, my God, I'm really heavily victimized by reactions of past activities. Now what to do? So we're becoming sober, we're becoming honest, we're becoming humble. Without becoming humble, it is very difficult to be situated like that. Now, if we're really honest, maybe if we're maybe like 10 or 15 or 20 years in devotional service, we must admit that we haven't always approached our own consciousness like that. We've not been very responsible for the quality of our consciousness. So that's an important lookout, this introspection for a devotee. It's an important quality. It comes by association with devotees who are purer than us, who are more sincere than us, and who have more realizations in Krishna consciousness. You know, associating with them, you know, in a humble way, in a pleasing way, in a way, you know, with the purpose of developing Krishna consciousness. And in this way, taking advantage of them, we become purified, especially by hearing Krishna Katha, Harikatha, you know. Because they have something more than us. When they speak, and when we can hear these words, it's also said in this verse, just as the words of the astrologer Sarvagya gave news of the poor man's treasure. Eh? So these words, they give news of a treasure. And it's not just a theoretical treasure. No, these words contain the consciousness of what that devotee has developed so far in Krishna consciousness. So, and these devotees are very merciful because they're closer to Krishna. They become instruments in the hand of Krishna. When they speak, you know, they do it with a lot of compassion. And maybe associate properly with them, without envy, completely without envy. Because enviousness is the greatest disqualification. You know, if we are envious, then we can't move one inch, you know. We have to give up this envy, you know, just kick it out. And then everybody gets confronted with that, you know, once in a while. There's always somebody who has something which we want to have, or is, you know, is somebody who we also want to become in that way. No, but the smartest thing is, if that person has that quality, you know, then associate with him in a humble way. And if he's really Vaishnava, you know, just by associating with him, you know, he will impart that quality also in your heart. And then you become purified. That's how you receive it, you know, just by words. So this distressed condition has to be completely exposed. You know, so what happens? Because it boils down to a very few simple things. We just need strong experiences in Krishna consciousness. We can't do without. I mean, we can just chant and study as much as we want, which is very good, by the way. I'm not undermining these activities. But at the end of the day, we just need some very serious and strong realizations in Krishna consciousness. You know, and just ask ourselves, when did you submit this prayer to Krishna for a strong realization? Our mind will say, oh, I have to be detached, you know. I just surrender to Krishna and whatever he gives. Like, no, we're just being callous and unattentive in our devotional service. And we don't understand the value of strong experiences. You know, it's like a must, like a visum to continue on this path. If we do everything very nicely, Krishna will give us strong experiences. And these strong experiences, they are required, you know, to come closer to Krishna. Krishna knows this. You know why? Because they place us in pure consciousness. You know, we cannot conceive of the constitutional constitution of the soul. We cannot conceive of it. We cannot imagine what that is. Guru Maharaj said, you have not gone this path before, you know? You have not gone this path before. The farthest you are now is the farthest you ever were. So every step you're going to take from this point in time is going to be in a direction you have never been before. You've never experienced that, you know? And it's not about theoretical knowledge. It's talking about purity of consciousness and facing the test and the challenges and basically anarthas ahead of us, you know? These anarthas, they manifest within, they manifest without. And Krishna is using this material energy to expose them. So these strong experiences, they will give us realization in Krishna consciousness. You know, they may put us in contact with the Swarup Shakti. They may put us even in moments in completely pure consciousness, some transcendental experience. And there it is realized, who am I? What is the soul? What is my relationship with Krishna? This is not ordinary process. You know, the soul has three qualities, Sat, Chit, Anand. This is a quote of Srila Prabhupada, the Lord's Ladini, pleasure potency, and Sandini, knowledge potency, combine to become the Bhakti Shakti, potency of devotional service. We cannot imagine what is existing in these potencies. We say it's only three, but there is an unlimited variety of Shakti and intelligence and purpose and spiritual life within these potencies. They have many functions. You know, even for the Siddha souls, for the perfected souls, and also for the souls who are aspiring to become perfect. You know, Krishna is a person. These are Krishna's personal, superior, internal energies. You know, they're very wonderful. You know, they act wonderfully upon the consciousness. So, they combine, become the Bhakti Shakti potency of devotional service. The perfect devotee, Siddha Bhakta, gives to the aspiring devotee, Sadhaka Bhakta, the potency. And how he gives that potency? In the first place, through the ear, Shravana, Kirtana, Vishnu Smarana, and by his mercy, by his glance, by the fact that he recognizes that you're sincerely Jigyasa, that you're sincerely trying to aspire for the Lord's service. The Jigyasa also comes by that association. We cannot become Jigyasa. Okay, we can try. Krishna is there. We have a heart full of anarthas, and today we say, Krishna, I want to please you. Very nice. And Krishna is smiling. And we walk out this temple door, and Maya is just overwhelming us. She's just riding over us like a truck of, like a big bus or something. Boom. And we become callous to that. And we even forget that we just placed this prayer before Krishna. And now we're just, again, being victimized like that. And again, a missed opportunity. No crying. No crying to Krishna. Krishna, what is happening? You're not going deeper, you know? I mean, it's a bad habit. This callousness is a bad habit. Very bad. I think Guru Maharaj called it incorrigibility, no? He said, if this habit becomes so bad, and you're living with it for so many years, you become incorrigible. I mean, you're hopeless. Sadhu Guru can't even do anything with you anymore. You know, the only thing left for you, he said, is like a big stick and heavy lashes, you know? I mean, this Harikatha won't enter, you know, like a pig's ear. Pigs are also, you know, have ears, he was saying, you know? And you just shout, hey! You know, the pig will just maybe do like that, but then, I mean, he didn't hear it. He never heard the purpose of what you wanted to say. So then only heavy lashes can... So we don't have to be like that, you know? You have to perceive it and try to be helped. So, with the help, so the Siddha Bhakta imparting the potency of Bhakti to the Sadhaka Bhakta, with the help of which the aspiring devotee makes gradual advancement in devotional service. That's where the advancement lies, by that mercy. Simply, that mercy of experience, because that devotee has more experience than us, you know, he's merciful, they're speaking, you know, they give us an opportunity to hear, to serve, and then it comes to us. By performing the spiritual activities of devotional service, the aspirant eventually becomes a perfect Siddha devotee. when the aspirant is free of aversion to devotional service and is completely inclined to engage in devotional service, then a merciful, perfect devotee takes his own spirit of devotion and gives it to an aspiring devotee. This is a great secret, Srila Prabhupada says. It's very simple. It's a very personal thing. You know. So it is by contact in with the Lord's pure devotees and the Swarup Shakti that we become purified, we become inspired, and we receive this Brahma Tattva Jigyasa, this urge to know Krishna, this urge to make advancement in a very realistic way, not projecting us in the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. No, before Nishta, our work is Anartha Nivriti. You know, like when you're a farmer and your field is completely messed up, full with rocks and weeds, and the time to plant has come, and you know, because you need your food, otherwise your family will starve, then you're not going to sit and meditate next to your field and think, oh, wow, look at all these fruit trees and abundance of vegetables and minerals and herbs and this and that, you know. And day after day you will just go and sit like this. You know, when the spring is over and your time to plant the seeds is over, you know, your field will be in the same condition. You open your eyes and nothing has happened, you know. So what you have to do, you have to just, you know, get your boots on and make your hands dirty and do anartha nivriti, you know. So it's a whole different lookout. I mean, they're very beautiful. I mean, we can project ourselves in their pastimes. Door is closed, you know. I mean, we can think that we can, but it's completely closed. So just accept it and just do the work. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, from Adho Shraddha to Anartha Nivritti is the hard and difficult part. After that, it goes really quick. So that's ahead of us, you know. Sometimes we talk about it, we discuss it just to be inspired. But we really need to have a serious lookout for the dirt and the rocks and develop relationship with Nityananda Prabhu, Balaram Prabhu, you know, and be established in relation with Sadhu Guru to have this done, you know, anartha nivriti. You know, be honest, you know, about what is there in the heart, and then find some devotee who can help us in this way. Before purification, the bhakti we perform is still very much mixed, jnana mishra bhakti, karma mishra bhakti. You just want to get rid of our suffering. We may become inspired, you know, by this beautiful transcendental knowledge. You know. So the best thing we can do before we get completely purified is, again, pray for strong experiences. Experiences which will even expose, you know, the more subtle motivations of our surrender and practice. Experiences which will make us realize that, okay, desires for knowledge and liberation and even freedom from suffering is not sufficient for me. You know, but what it actually does is that, because we like, if you take a worm in the stool, you know, and you take him out, he will go back. And then if you put somebody with a human consciousness in that body, he will completely freak out. Or a bird, you know, you see, look, even observe the bird, constantly anxious, you know, constantly moving, constantly looking for food, constantly afraid. If you put somebody with a human consciousness in that bird body, you will just go mad within a few minutes. No, similarly, when you put a pure devotee in our consciousness, he also can't tolerate it. He will also completely, you know, he may drop dead, I don't know. He will go mad. So, to keep ourselves a little bit sharp, we always pray for these experiences. We can pray for that. It's not spiritual sense enjoyment, it's a requirement. Why? Because it again places a higher perspective. What happens? Krishna gives an experience on this level. And this experience, even of moments, makes us realize, oh, what I was experiencing before, it was very nice, but it wasn't still pure devotional service. It was still conditional. Still the understanding of tattva, of truth, is limited. You know, still now I heard something from somebody which seemingly is much deeper, much more evolved. Ah, oh, that's strange. Then again, we can try to defend the construction of our little world and say, okay, this guy is off, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Or, you know, we can listen to our heart say, okay, maybe I just have to accept that I'm not transcendentally situated, that my understanding of the process is not fully, absolutely transcendentally conceived, and let me be humble. Again, there is only one thing in between, false ego, which wants to feel comfortable in whatever we achieved. You know? Once we get the hang of this process, we will continuously apply it. We remember this higher experience, we will surrender and serve to get that again. Are we blessed like that? You know, and then again. Then now we think, the first time maybe, when we get really a big breakthrough, we may think, okay, that's it. Oh, I know so much more than the rest, and definitely, you know, I have some really absolute understanding of truth. And then again somebody walks in, and he says, what about this, and this? And they, oh, I never thought about it like that. So then you can again do the same thing. Reject what is being said, what Krishna is putting before you, or be humble again. And then you just continuously apply this process until, you know, we get somewhere. So basically we run after the higher experiences we get. There's a nice point here in the purport. If we revive our original, intimate relationship with Krishna, our distressed condition in the material world will be mitigated. Everyone is trying to adjust to the distressed conditions of material existence. That's what we try to do. And if we are honest, at least I'm speaking for myself, we're just using the process of devotional service to accomplish that. Isn't it? We're just trying to mitigate our distressed condition. This is not really tattva. I mean, it's some lower level of inspiration in devotional service. Point will be proven. But the basic problems cannot be solved unless one is in an intimate relationship with Krishna. So my friend made a nice point that an intimate relationship with Krishna, once that is established, there is no way back. That's a final position. If we are established in an intimate relationship with Krishna, all our problems are gone, all our suffering is resolved, and there is no going back, there is no possibility of going back to a lower consciousness, to a conditioned consciousness. You know? So we are constantly jumping up and down. If at all we're jumping, you know? Sometimes just, you know, with knees up to in the mud and trying to move forward and just not going anywhere. It happens, you know? So it means that we don't have an intimate relationship with Krishna, that we have not yet established that. You know? So let us again be humble about this. You know, so it's a matter of, I remember when I read this, I was remembering statement of Guru Vinamaraj. He said, you have to put Krishna on the platform of love. You know, so this is our condition, suffering, you know, getting purified in devotional service, and then again losing that consciousness. You know, we work so hard, you know, we're suffering so much, then we really become sincere. So Krishna lets us suffer so much until, you know, he just is finding some sincerity in our heart, because we're so thick, we're so callous, you know, through suffering. Okay, at least, okay, let me now be sincere, because if I'm not sincere now, I will, you know, it can't go worse than this. And then we approach Guru Krishna, we apply ourselves again, we work ourselves up, we become a nice purified consciousness. This happens for a few moments, few hours, few days, and then from there on, it again goes down. Because we have not truly convinced Krishna, you know. We get little relief, and again, automatically, we become conditioned by whatever anartha's karma is there. Why? Because the true desire of our heart is to simply enjoy in this material world. If the true desire of our heart is to only serve and please Krishna, that will not happen. Because we aspire, we desire, we receive, and because this is what we want, we just keep on doing the same thing. And because Krishna is unlimited and the influence of his potencies is also unlimited, our consciousness will simply evolve very quickly until we get Krishna Prema. You know? So, but why this coming up and coming down? Because we've not convinced Krishna. We've not been blessed by Krishna, by the seed of bhakti. The seed of bhakti is a simple desire to only please Him. Sometimes I'm meditating upon that. Because I understand this theoretically. So then I'm doing some effort to realize, and then I pray to Krishna in this way. So, Krishna, you know, let me realize that why it is that I want to stay so comfortably in this material mind and body and world. And why it is that it is so hard even to conceive of a life without this desire to be comfortable here in false ego, you know. I'm in the center of the whole thing and everything around me should be nice. Why is it so difficult? Because it's a very serious, deep-rooted problem. You know, it's saying that the knot of ahankar with the conditioned soul is so tight. It's like a knot which is strengthened every time, you know. You know, you desire material, you engage in material activities, you get the reactions of these activities. So the knot is, you know, coming tighter and tighter. And if you have this very strong rope, there is a serious knot in it. You can't unknot it. You cannot unknot that. It has to be cut. You know? But we have to allow that to happen. You know, if Krishna cuts this knot, and there is no serious desire to serve and please Krishna, we won't survive that literally. I mean, we could not handle that. That's why Krishna is not doing that operation. You know? Because we're just too attached to ahankar. We will just think, now I'm dead, you know, my world has disappeared. So that's why we develop this desire to serve, which is to serve and please Krishna. But there's something very simple in words. It's also simple in realization. But for the false ego and mind, it is very difficult to realize that. So that's what we pray for. That is bhakti. That is the basic principle of bhakti. Doing everything for the pleasure of Krishna and doing nothing for our own pleasure. And once we get even like a moment of realization of this blessed consciousness, I mean, that is the best possible thing that could happen to us. And bhakti is given by bhakti. You know? It's nothing else can give devotional service. Devotional service is independent of our efforts. It is independent of our desires. You know? It said that even Bhakti Devi is independent of Krishna. Am I right? Did we hear that somewhere? I mean, definitely. Everybody will serve and please Krishna, but Bhakti Devi has a lot of independence. So only by her causeless mercy, you know, we will receive the seed of desire to serve and please Krishna. So the best thing we can do is just be very humble, very honest. Better be on the safe side and accept that I have too little of this desire, and then simply, you know, pray, cry, and very humbly do our sadhana, follow these programs, you know, not thinking that this is it. No, you know, we should have our heads a little bit down and be very humble about where we're situated, and just keep on crying like this, develop this mood day after day, you know, year after year of our practice. And Krishna will reciprocate with this. This will never go in vain. This is a very sound basis of our devotional life. It will surely help us. And Krishna is going to reciprocate with that, no doubt. You know, we will get benefited up to the point that Krishna becomes convinced, starts giving us really strong experiences strong enough to really, you know, solve the problems of life. In this way, by their devotion to the principles of bhakti yoga, the devotees please this personality of Godhead, who takes away from them everything inauspicious. Being purified of all impediments, the devotee awakens to pure love of Godhead. By performing bhakti yoga, one can rise to the platform of pure devotional service. Devotional service is transcendental. The system of Varnashram Dharma refers to the three modes of material nature, but transcendental devotional service is on the absolute platform. You know, we just want to take the solution at the very beginning of our spiritual life. You know, it doesn't lie in jnana, it doesn't lie in the accumulation of knowledge, it doesn't lie in the fact that we won't have a nice prospect of living happily in this world. It only lies in the fact that there is Krishna, here am I, and I just, you know, want to start playing, thinking about the idea of pleasing Him. And just going deeper and deeper into that meditation. It should be our only meditation. If that is not our meditation, it is some other type of bhakti, jnana, mishra bhakti, karma, mishra bhakti. We're all, it's not vyasa yatmika buddhi. You know, we are, our intelligence is played out, it is diverted. So in this way we should try to keep our eye on the prize and realize that there is a big distance between the eye and the prize. And you know, try to get some mercy. Devotional activities, however, sometimes appear to be impure in the neophyte stage, but in the mature stage they are completely pure, are free from material activity. In the neophyte stage, sadhana bhakti includes faith, association with devotees, and practicing devotional service, only thing we require. Thus one is freed from all unwanted things. One then becomes fixed in devotional service and increases his desire to act in devotional service. Thus one becomes attached to the Lord and his devotional activities. Yeah, I mean, there are many quotes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I think I will conclude the class here. And maybe devotees want to add something or ask something. Prabhu? Stoka Prabhu? Bhaktari Prabhu? Yes. Yes. I mean, it doesn't require for the future to be fixed if Krishna knows it. I mean, even if at this very moment you would take a decision which would alter your future, Krishna would also know that, that you would do that and that that would happen. No? Maybe. I mean, it's fixed and it's not fixed. It just, it's like a dualistic argument. But transcendentally, it just exists in one way. It's fixed, it's not fixed. It's achintya veda veda tattva. You know? So, these are very often arguments from our mind, you know, to just maybe be a little bit more relaxed about the urge, you know, to understand our suffering condition. So in this way, our mind will always use things in advantage of the ego and the mind, but to the disadvantage of the benefit of our soul. So we should change that, put a high, very high standard for ourselves, and do it opposite. You know, take things to the advantage of our soul and to the disadvantage of the whole interplay of mind and ego. So. It still boils down to the fact that we have to do the best possible thing to, you know, to move ahead. It's a difficult question, Bhaktari Prabhu. Yes, he's very expert. But the future is not really that much important, you know. The only thing what is important is what Guru and Krishna place before us right here, right now. So, you know, when we are disturbed, and I was talking about that, and we don't want to see that, then we are ignoring. I mean, this material energy is also a manifestation of Krishna's energy. I mean, he doesn't communicate with us directly. Through his material energy, he will also deal with us. You know? So if that is what we are dealing with right here, right now, there is a purpose behind that. Having faith in the fact that Krishna is with us, he's looking at us, you know, he has a purpose for us. You know, so then we just focus upon that. You know, to serve Krishna means to do what Krishna wants. Prabhupada says the best possible thing is to take constant guidance and association from Krishna in the heart. That's here and now, you know, in whatever Krishna is confronting you with. So if you're being disturbed, be direct upon that, you know. It's like, it's like we have to just tune in into what Krishna wants. All our conditionings are different. All our spiritual, advancement is also different. You know? Like, different diseases are there. If somebody with a brain tumor, you know, some doctor will, like, cut away some part of his stomach. Oh, we don't make distinction, you know. I'm just cutting. Yeah, it won't be very effective. It's dangerous. You know, so Krishna has a very specific program for us. And we should have faith that whatever is being put in front of us right here, right now, that's what I should deal with. That's what I should focus upon. And basically, for us, that is anartha nivritti. We discuss that too little, you know. We want to jump a little bit. Oh, the bhajans are nice. I mean, it's good to do bhajan. It's good to be, to be absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. But this part of anartha nivritti, it's a little bit under emphasized. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Whatever decisions we make here and now will determine what consciousness we will be in the future. You know? That's why if we surrender to Krishna in this way, our future will be bright. Because we do what Krishna wants. You know? If Krishna wants you to get onto the field and get your feet and hand dirty, you know, and go through the inconvenience and the pain a little bit of anartha nivritti, but you say, no, Krishna, I don't want. I want to please you. I just want to, you know, think about you in a very nice way. No, Krishna says, I want you to go on the field and, you know, and do the work. So then what is your surrender if you don't do that? It's not surrender. It is completely influenced by material energy. It's not bhakti. Krishna wants you to get purified. You know? So that's what we should be occupied with. Prabhu. Yes. Yes. Well, it's not what I think, you know. It's not what I think. We are tatasta jiva shakti. Acharyas are very clear about that. Prabhupada is very clear. We are tatasta jiva shakti. There is the internal energy, Swarup Shakti, Maya Shakti, and in between there is the Tasta Jiva Shakti. That is where all the jivas originate. And the inherent quality of the Tasta Jiva Shakti is that it should always be influenced by either the Maya Shakti or the Swarup Shakti. You know? So when those Tatasta Jiva Shaktis, which were first influenced by the Maya Shakti, he's becoming impatient there. Then they go there and they live there. And they were never in the variety of the Swarup Shakti. So they were in the spiritual world, yes. Because the Tatashta Jiva Shakti is a spiritual energy. Huh? No. I don't accept that. You would be surprised how many big gurus in ISKCON are also not accepting this. GBC is a managerial authority, no? No, there is managerial authority, there is spiritual authority. Spiritual authority is the property of Sadhu Guru, you know? Managerial authority, that is the jurisdiction of the GBC. Yes. Well, nice for those who want to read it, but... Yeah. I mean, for myself, I'm just being humble and honest, I don't accept that. I just accept what I have heard and yes, then that has to be like that. Yeah. I mean, I will accept their managerial decisions and I will be very humble and do whatever they want. Even if they make decisions which I don't agree with, I will accept that. But when it comes to spiritual authority, I will always make distinction and I will always try to follow Sadhu Guru Krishna. And even that may be my subjective interpretation of what is Sadhu Guru Krishna, but I mean, I'm responsible for this judgment, you know. If I judge right, I will be rewarded accordingly. If I judge wrong, then I will be I will need to be rectified. So I'm taking the chance, you know. I'm taking the chance. Prabhu.
So this lifetime, the meeting grow for the first time. Lord said, hey, wait a second. I had this experience so many times before. Now let's see what this experience looks like. No, we already found about this experience. So this lifetime, the first meeting to grow for
But it's politically smarter and correcter to just answer the question like that, so I haven't said anything, and this is the answer. Yeah, I know, we're just... Yes. No, it's okay. Yes, I understand. Yes. We try to avoid it, no? Yes. Yes. All right, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And?
I just wanted to say that once there was a discussion on the Bhagavad Gita.
Approach. But it's very subtle points indeed. And about the previous point you made, we have personal experience. I mean, for years, dealing with certain problems, and then by some mercy, you know, having these things exposed, and then thinking, my God, how could I, for years, have lived with this? and still thinking I'm situated in devotional service. You know, every single day being bothered by these things. And so callous that for years, you know, thinking everything is okay, hair is on fire, but I'm doing just fine, sir. You know, and this has to be completely exposed. That is anartha nivritti. It is because the maya shakti, it covers our intelligence, it drags us down. So this swarup shakti has also different potencies. It will just neutralize the influence of that covering potency. And then we can see, my God, what is this, you know? And then we start moving ahead. Right, huh? Yes. Okay, Gantraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.